सो वर्स नंबर 9, श्रोत्रम चक्षुस्पर्शनम च रसनम घ्राणम एव च अधिष्ठाय मनश्चायम् विषयानुपसेवते। ओके, सो नाउ दिस जीवा हैज टेकन अ न्यू बॉडी, सो व्हाट डज ही डू? सो ही सेज श्रोत्रम इयर्स, चक्षु आईज, स्पर्शनम टच, रसनम टेस्ट एंड घ्राणम स्मेल। सो सी विद द आईज, इयर्स, नोज, स्किन एंड टंग एव च एंड अधिष्ठाय मनश्चायम एंड द माइंड ऑल्सो। अल्टीमेटली इट इज द माइंड दैट रेगुलेट्स दिस फाइव, द एबिलिटी टू सी, हियर, स्मेल, टेस्ट, टच, द एबिलिटी टू टॉक, वॉक। सो माइंड कंट्रोल्स एंड द जीवा, द कॉन्शियसनेस और द इंडिविजुअलिटी, नॉट द कॉन्शियसनेस बट द जीवा, विषयान उपसेवते, एन्जॉयज द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स। सो यूजिंग द आईज, इयर्स, नोज, स्किन एंड टंग, द सेंस ऑर्गन्स, दिस जीवा, दिस इंडिविजुअलिटी, विषयान उपसेवते, यूजिंग थ्रू द माइंड, फंक्शनिंग थ्रू द माइंड, इट एन्जॉयज द विषयान उपसेवते, इट एन्जॉयज ऑल द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स, विद आईज द थिंग्स आई सी, विद द इयर्स आई हियर, टंग आई टेस्ट एंड सो ऑन। So, there were a few points that I was thinking about. First of all, can everybody see this board or no? Or is covered? Pretty much. So, this consciousness, the Lord, Bhagavan doesn't do anything. That's one thing. He doesn't do anything. He does not run this body. How does this body function? The self or the consciousness does not run the body. In fact, actually, at the level of the self, there is no world. That alone exists. That's Advaita. We had talked about it before. Some other time we can address this subject again. We don't have time today. But at the level of the self, there is no world. It doesn't exist. But in our case, we say the world exists. Okay. So who runs the body? The mind and the intellect. So the consciousness reflected in the mind and intellect runs the body. The example I have talked even before is, say there is sunlight outside and illumining the earth, but the room is dark because, you know, the shades are closed and the windows are closed. There is only one little small hole and everything else is closed and the room is dark and the sunlight is not coming in. But I put a mirror there and the mirror is put in a strategic place, so the sunlight falls on the mirror and then reflects through that opening into the room, so the room gets illumined. The sun directly did not illumine the room, but through the mirror reflects the sunlight. Now if there was a rock placed there, a piece of stone, that stone would not be able to reflect the sunlight. The sunlight would not. It had to be a shiny mirror which was clean, polished, and that mirror alone has the ability to reflect the sunlight. So here the mind and intellect are like that mirror. That's subtle, which has, just as the mirror has the ability to reflect sunlight, the rock doesn't. So the mind and intellect has the subtle ability to reflect the consciousness. So the consciousness, Brahman, the Lord, reflected in the mind and intellect, utilizing the body, it nourishes and it then enjoys the world, illumining, working through the body. But interestingly, the Vedanta tells us that the mind not only utilizes the sense organs, but runs out through the sense organs. So unlike in physics where they say that the light from that car is reflected into my cornea and then perceived by the brain, but Vedanta says that the mind runs out and I can see the car or I can see the person or the tree. And I can hear the sound. So the mind runs out. And in fact, it is true. Because like you might be sitting very engrossed. And a person walks by in front of you and waves at you. But you are thinking about some, you know, you are under some stress and all. And the person waves and even says hi. And you don't. And then next time he sees you, he says, you know, you're so rude. Why? He said, I passed in front of you. I waved. I even said hi. I didn't even see you. Even though the eyes were seeing the object, the ears were hearing the sound, but my mind was so much engrossed that even that person speaking, I didn't hear even that. So it is the mind that runs out. So that's why they say you have to be very conscious. Because the mind, when it runs out, then it gets so caught up in the world, then it doesn't have time to think about the Bhagwan or think about the Lord. And people spend so much time, you know, just in sense objects. Like nowadays, of course, you don't see that. But I remember one time I went into a record store. These days, of course, you don't have them. Everything is on the internet. But I remember there, and there was some rock music playing loud. And the salesman was, you know, moving his body, and the guy was buying was, and everybody was moving their body. And that's what people do. Hours and hours they spend, you know, having all this sound. You know, even when they're in the gym, they have this music playing. Everywhere they are walking on the street, they're exercising all the time. So what is happening is your mind is constantly being stimulated, and you're moving, and so your nervous system is constantly being stimulated, and that's why such people have a lot of stress, you know, because the mind is constantly stimulated. You have to give your mind silence, give it time where I don't have to hear things all the time. I don't have to watch my phone all the time. I am actually also guilty of that. But you don't have to stimulate your sense organs all the time. Give it time to do nothing. Sit and, okay, I'll give my mind rest. I'll just sit and watch nature. I'll sit in my backyard and watch the trees and just enjoy the silence. So the constant stimulation of the mind, first of all, it disturbs your nervous system. Secondly, the mind, when it goes into the objects, it is going further away from the self. The further I am involved in objects and things, the further I am away from God. So all that is good in our life, whether it's peace or whether it's love or compassion or kindness, all that comes from Him, comes from the Lord. So the further you go away, that's why these people who are all the time disturbed, they are so angry and they are so, you know, that's why all these people, you know, they get mad and they go shoot the world, or they just blow up and, you know, yell at somebody and all. So the point is that, am I going to be, and the further you come in, the more you come closer, that's why when you talk to these Mahatmas and when you are in the presence of Mahatmas, you feel you are talking to God Himself. They are so compassionate, they are so kind, they are so loving, they are so benevolent, they are so gentle. You know, most of these saints, you look at Swami Ishwarananda, you look at Vimalji, I remember Muniji who used to come to Bharti's, and some of you have met him. I mean, ultimate symbol of compassion and love and all. Why? Because they are connected. They are connected with God constantly. They are all the time. Their charger is always connected, you know, to that. While you and I, because we are so engrossed in the world, we have gone far away from the Lord or the consciousness. That's why they say, do you want to identify with your body or your mind or yourself? The gross body, the subtle body, or the self? People who are involved with the gross body, they think that this is me, you know, this is how much I extend, you know, 5 feet six, you know, this many inches height, wide and all. And so this is all I, so now she's not part of me, so she is separate. So I don't care what happens, whatever her problems are her problem, they are not mine. Same thing even in a relationship, you know, husband or wife, if they only think I am this body, then he is separate from me, then his problem is not my problem. So the sense of separation comes between individuals, between families, between society, between nations. Why? Because they so are identified with the body that is all I am. I am this body. I have to take care of this body, and I don't care about any other body, anybody. So that is that. Then some people identify with the mind, you know, where they are into emotions. I love this person. He loves me. And that is little better. At least you are not physically involved. You are emotionally involved. But that also can become a bondage. You know, excessive emotional attachment, excessive dependence. Why? Because, oh, without this person, I cannot live. It's not a physical bondage anymore. Maybe even the physical aspect is over. You know, when couple gets married, okay, you know, initially it's a very physical attachment. That is now less. But the emotional ties are so strong that that itself is a bondage. And then at the mental level, that mental stress also can become a big problem. And then people get upset with each other and angry with each other. And then, you know, the, one of the things that couples do beautifully is the silent treatment, right? I won't talk to her. And then, the, you know, person, there's so much stress in the house because husband and wife are not talking. And then who is going to give in first? And everybody is all tense enough. Yeah, because you are still at the mind level. And oh, because he's not talking to me, so I am so miserable. But if you go to the self and say, I am the self. I am that consciousness. If he talks to me, it's fine. If he doesn't talk to me, I'm still okay. Why? Because I am not this mind. I am not the body. I am the self. Baat karna to theek hai. Nahi to it's okay. You stay where you... The point is that we get so caught up in our emotional things, and that's what Gurudev used to say, Swami Chinmayananda, don't put the key of your happiness in somebody else's pocket. That he, anytime he wants, he can turn it and make me happy, and then he can turn it and make me unhappy. So I am the self, I am the consciousness. If the person wants to be nice to me, I'm fine. He doesn't want to be nice to me, I'm still fine. Just by him saying hello to me, I don't get any better. And by him not saying hello to me, I don't get any worse, because I am the self. I am that. I am the consciousness who is occupying this body, mind, and intellect. So why should I be so attached to my physical comforts or my mental stress and strain? Mentally, it's not that you become a rock or become a stone. In fact, a person who is attached with the self actually becomes more compassionate, more loving, more sharing. But when joys and sorrows come at the mental or the physical level, he is able to handle them better, or she, because I am the self. I am not this body. I am not the mind. Let the mind be stressed. Let the body be sick. But I am none of those. So that is what you do. You slowly evolve from physical attachment to mental. Mental means I love everybody. And then ultimately I am the self. And when you become the self, when you identify, actually we all are the self, but we have forgotten it. Actually each and every one of us is Brahman occupying this body. Every one of us is that, but we have forgotten it, and we have got so attached to our body. So wake up to the truth, understand that you are the self, and then you can function in the world. Once you do that, then you become spontaneous, you become a Mahatma, you become a realized soul. Once you have understood that. So the whole spiritual journey is to wake up to who you already are. That's what Shvetaketu was telling his son in Chandogya Upanishad. Tatvamasi, Tatvamasi, you are that, you are that. Again and again he tells him that. Indra had to study with his teacher for 99 years. And he kept telling him, you are that. It took him 99. Indra, who is such an evolved, who is the king of the gods, took him 99 years. But the point is that we have this knowledge, and we have Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda telling us. So we don't need to, you know, go to Indra's level and just start living that, applying that. Start saying, I am the self. Not mechanically repeating it, but bringing it into the practice. Slowly detach from the body, slowly detach from the mind. Watch what the mind is doing, and then don't let the mind overcome you. You be a master of your mind instead of the mind running you. And then what happens? It says, Shrotram Chakshu Rasanam Granam Evacho. So this subtle body enters a new body, and then each organ is put in its right place. Just as when I move from here to Los Angeles, I don't put the kitchen stuff in the living room, and then I don't put the sofa in the bedroom, and then I don't put the bed in the kitchen. No, I put the bed in the bedroom, the utensils in the kitchen, the sofa in the living room, the TV. So as I put everything in the right place, so this jiva, when it enters a new body, and when the baby is born, it establishes, it unpacks. So the eyes are put in the eyes, the ears are put in the ears, It's not that the ear is and the eye are mixed, so it's not like a baby, you show him the picture and say, can you see the picture? He can't, because it's the eye. In fact, it's so interesting that it does not happen instantly. It takes a few months, just as when you move to a new house. And the first week somebody say, oh, we want a party. You know, you have bought this brand new house. You say, I can't do that. I'm not even unpacked. Let me unpack. Let me settle down. Let me, you know, get, you know, comfortable. Then in a month or two or three, I will have a grand party. You can all enjoy the house and have a housewarming. So this baby also, over the 2 or 3 months, slowly the abilities come. The ability to hear comes first, then the ability to see, and then the ability for the hearing and the seeing to connect. That means I'm hearing a sound, but and then baby knows, okay, it's the mother making the sound. You know, and people will say, after 2 weeks, you know, I talked to the baby, hey, Sonny, and he saw me and he smiled. He recognized me, I'm his mother. The Sonny doesn't even know you're a mother or father. All he knows is because he's getting the milk. But people start thinking, baby takes 2-3 months, because the hearing comes and then the seeing comes and then the ability for the hearing and the seeing to combine in the brain. Okay, the one I'm seeing and the one I'm hearing is the same individual, and that's my mother or that's my father. So slowly it unpacks, everything is put in its right place, and then the individual is ready to go, he's ready to function. So it's a gradual process, and slowly Shrotram, Chakshu, Sparshanam, Adishtaya, and the mind also has to be connected. That's why the mind also develops. The baby's mind in the beginning, it's just an organism, but then it understands, okay, now this person is my mother, this person is my father, and this is my brother. And then slowly the mind also develops and mind also learns, and then you teach him A, B, C, D and all. Adishtaya Manaschayam Vishayan Upasevate. So that's how the jiva, using the sense organs, functions in this new environment. So it's basically telling us how, you know, this rebirth happens and how the, you know, the individual functions. It's a very beautiful verses. And then it will then tell you next time it will talk about the self or the consciousness that we'll be talking about next week. What is the self and how does the wise person function in the world? So we'll continue that. Any questions or any comments?
What's the purpose of, you know, all these changes?
No, you can accomplish. Yeah, some people do. I mean, if you are that evolved. But the problem is that we have so many lifetimes of ignorance. So this ignorance that you have is not only of this life. It is probably 1,000 lifetimes. So it's like a window that is covered with dirty paint, you know, very hard. And another window is just covered with a light layer of dust. Another one has old paint and mud and all. Now to clean the dust, all it needs is a little cloth. And immediately the window starts reflecting. But for the other one, you know, you need to scrub it. You need to get turpentine, get gasoline, and remove that paint. And it might take you a few days to clean that window. In one of the Bhagavad Gita, it says that depending on the vasanas, it is like smoke, mirror, and the womb. Like a sattvic vasana is like a smoke. Now, smoke is covering the window. You just blow the breeze and the window becomes open. But if the window is covered by dust, that is rajasic vasanas. So you have to, you know, use a cloth. So it takes some effort. But if it is like a womb, which is covered. Now, for the womb to come out, it takes 9 months and so much labor. Or like that thick paint and dirt, it takes a lot of scrubbing. So whether you are a sattvic or a rajasic or a tamasic individual, depending on your degree of ignorance, that much effort is required. So, but if you are a very sattvic individual, Raman Maharishi, by age 7, he was already going into samadhi. At age 7, he already had experienced death. In the sense, what he had done was it's very interesting. He saw somebody dying, one of his neighbors dead. And so he came home and he said, I want to experience death. What is means to die? Somebody said, you know, he's dead. He said, okay, let me experience my own death. 7 years. So he closes the room and he sits down and he slowly withdraws his, you know, and then he shuts down his respiration. He actually could shut down his respiration. And he shut it down completely. And he said, my heart is still beating. He shut down his heartbeat. And he said, my mind is still thinking. So he shut down the movement of his mind. He went into deep samadhi. He could do that. So he had stopped his mind. He had stopped his body. Everything was into hibernation. But then he said, but there is something inside me that I cannot shut down. And what is that? That was the self. See, the consciousness he couldn't shut because that is his, that is Lord. So then he said, what is that self? I need to inquire. And that's when the rest of his life he spent in inquiring into that. But at age 7, he had the ability to actually shut his body, mind completely to a zero. So it depends on your level of whether you have tamas, rajas or sattva. They say once you understand I am that and wake up to it, that's all it is. There is nothing more. But you have to abide in that and you have to function as that. You can't say I am the self and then, go and hurt somebody or cheat somebody. You have to then become a saint. Yeah. But no, that's a good point. But at least if you're on the path, see, you're sort of getting disheartened. At least I have started this journey. At least I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita. That itself is a good sign that you are on the right path. I think the two shlokas are connected, so it kind of clarifies a little better. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramaya. Sarve bhadrani pasyantu ma kashchit dukkha. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurudev Namah.